Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have probably never heard more about kindness than in the last 2 years. In her first press conference on the coronavirus pandemic, Dr. Henry, back in March 2020, ended with the words that became a catchphrase: be kind, be calm, be safe. And she often repeated these words over the months, and she even wrote a book about it. And during the panicked early days of the pandemic, her calmness and kind demeanor were certainly appreciated. But the thing is, we were never really told what kindness was. And you may have wondered over the course of the pandemic and as things unfolded, what does it really mean to be kind to people in a time such as this? Well, if you were wondering, rather than buying Dr. Henry's book, God's Word gives us the answer. Because kindness is found throughout Scripture. It is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so for us, to be kind is not just a suggestion, and it's not just for times of panic and disaster, but it's a command for all times. But we can't just rely on human opinions for what kindness means. We must learn from God's Word. And so, as with all the fruits of the Spirit, the best way to learn about kindness is to look at the kindness of God and then to use that to inspire us. And so that's what we'll do this morning. As we see, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, and we look first at the kindness of God and then, secondly, our kindness towards others. Our word in Galatians 5 verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit for kindness, is found throughout Scripture, but it is often translated as good. For example, in our text in Titus chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared." You can't tell from your English, but the word goodness is actually the word kindness in our text. But it's a special kind of goodness. It's a goodness that is useful and helpful. To give an example, Jesus uses our word kindness in his famous cry in Matthew chapter 11. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the easy yoke, my yoke is easy. That word easy is our word kindness. Because if you are an ox pulling a plow, a yoke that is kind is a yoke that is light and easy to pull. And so that's kindness. It's something that is useful, something that is helpful, something that is, in a sense, easy. Another example, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, the Apostle Paul quotes a Greek poet approvingly. He says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." And that good character, that's again our text, kindness. Those who are kind do not just do kind things, but they have a kind character. They're honest, they show concern for others, they have good morals, they're charitable. And so kindness is very similar to goodness, the next fruit of the Spirit. But while goodness is related to the things that you do, kindness is especially about your character, your disposition. We can think about the difference between kindness and goodness in this way. A good person does what is right, but a kind person is willing and ready and eager to do what is right. A kind person is eagerly looking for opportunities to do good. And this eagerness to be helpful, to be useful, often leads a kind person to be mild, to be friendly, to be helpful. And God is often called kind in the Scriptures. Most famously in a repeated cry in the Psalms, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And again here, the word good is our word kindness. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is kind," it says literally. And the Lord's kindness is very closely related to His patience, last week's fruit of the Spirit. You can often find the two words together. And we saw last week that patience means that the Lord is slow to anger, that He does not punish our sins immediately, but He waits to punish us before punishing us, he waits, allowing us the chance to repent and allowing atonement to be made for our sins on Jesus Christ. But have you ever wondered what makes God patient? Why is God slow to anger? Why doesn't he just punish our sins as we deserve, since he is a just God? Well, God is patient because he is kind. And so his kindness means that he's eager to do good. He's predisposed to look on us with love instead of anger. And so God is kind. He's mild. He's benevolent. He is good. And so the many psalms that say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is kind," usually follow it up with, "His love endures forever." And the Hebrew word for love there is often translated as loving kindness, as it is in our text in Titus chapter 3, verse 4. It speaks of God's faithful covenant love that goes on through the generations. Because God has chosen his people as his own before the creation of the world, he is kind to them. He is eager to do good to them. He waits for opportunities to love them. And so when God's people sin, because of his predisposition to love them in his kindness, he does not punish them immediately. He continues to love them and he holds off punishing their sins until Christ comes to suffer for them instead. So his love, his kindness, endures forever. But God is so full of kindness, actually, that his kindness is not even only reserved for us, for his people. Jesus speaks about God's kindness to everyone in Luke chapter 6. He says, "Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." And we'll talk about how we are to love and be kind towards others in a minute. But this verse shows that God's kindness is not just restricted to his people, but it's also extended to everyone, to the ungrateful and wicked. How is he kind towards the ungrateful and wicked? Well, other scripture texts speak about how God makes the sun shine on the just and the unjust, and he sends rain on the good and the evil. And so the fact that God gives everyone food and drink, shelter, and many other good things in life is proof of his kindness towards them. That even towards the wicked, he does not immediately punish their sins and pour out the wrath that they deserve, but he gives them many examples of kindness, many good things, and many opportunities to repent because he is kind. Now, God's kindness doesn't mean he's indifferent towards sin. Romans 11 contrasts the kindness of God with his sternness. It says, "Consider the kindness and sternness of God, sternness towards those who fall, but kindness towards you, provided that you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off." So it says God is kind towards the wicked. He gives them many good things. He waits for them to repent, but he's not sentimental. When they sin, he will also be stern towards them. His sternness means that he will punish them for their sin if they don't repent. In fact, he is so stern that even believers, it says, cannot just assume that they are saved and live their life however they want. They need to actively continue in his kindness, trusting in Jesus Christ and living out the way that God wants them to live their life. Otherwise, they too will be cut off. And God's kindness means he continues to wait for the wicked to repent. It says, "If they," the wicked, "do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." So God's kindness, we see, means that he is patient and faithful and loving, and that he is looking for opportunities to bless us. And his kindness is so great that he's not just kind to us, his faithful people, but he's eager to do good also to the wicked if they will repent. But above all, of course, God's kindness is found in Jesus Christ. And we read of this from Titus chapter 3. It speaks of how we were at one time, verse 3, foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. It's a description of how foolish and wicked is the unchristian life. Not only are we sinful, but we are slaves to sin. We hate others. We hate one another. We are full of malice and envy, always looking down on other people, always trying to put ourselves up at the expense of everyone else. And it speaks of how that's how wicked today live, but it's a reminder that that's how all of us are by nature. We can't just think of others that way. We need to remember ourselves. And then it says, when we were like that, says verse 4, the goodness or kindness and loving kindness or faithful love of God, our Savior, appeared. So in this case, it says that God's kindness appeared. It became visible. And kindness is not the sort of thing we would usually speak of as being visible, something that you can see. But in this case, God's kindness became visible because it is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. He came visibly as a human being, and he came so that God would save us. He would save us, says verse 5, not because of righteous works done by us, but by his own mercy. And that there is a good definition of kindness. Kindness is to treat people not according to all the righteous or good things they have done, but out of mercy. Because the truth is, we haven't done enough good things for people to treat us well, let alone for God to save us. And so God, in his kindness, treats us not according to our deeds, but according to his mercy through Christ. And his mercy means, says verse 5, that we are washed according, we are saved by the washing of regeneration, renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's speaking of how we are washed clean from our sins through Jesus Christ, and how God has poured out the Holy Spirit on us so that we can live for him. And all this means, says verse 7, that we become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so because of Jesus Christ, we are justified, we are judged not guilty, and God treats us not according to the things we have done, but only through his mercy and kindness. And the Holy Spirit continues to renew us to be a new people. He works kindness in our hearts, the desire to devote ourselves to doing what is good, instead of the foolishness and disobedience and malice and hatred with which we once lived. And so we'll see that in our second point, as we follow God's example and be kind towards others. So our kindness, of course, is to be based on the kindness of God. So we are to be kind. That means that we are to be helpful and useful. It means that we are always to be looking around us, looking for opportunities to do what is good, and ready to help wherever we can. And it's this eagerness to help, this looking around for ways to be kind, is why kindness is often associated with qualities of mildness or meekness and gentleness. Because a person who spends their life looking for ways to help others is going to be a gentle person, versus a person who's looking for opportunities to always be offended and be angry, who is going to be known as a harsh sort of person. As one commentator put it, kindness is the positive side of patience. We saw last week that patience is about bearing with others when they hurt us, when they wrong us. It's about not getting angry with our opponents and not holding grudges with those who have wronged us. But kindness is the next step. Kindness is the positive things that we do, even towards those who wrong us. That we love others, that we do good for others, despite their wrongs, despite their sins, helping them in any way we can. As we saw last week, the church will not survive if we do not have enough patience. If we hold on to grudges, if we refuse to associate with anyone who thinks differently than us, if we do not forgive those who have wronged us, we will fracture and split. But we also will not grow as a congregation if we do not practice kindness towards one another. If we do not help out in any way that we can, if we do not pitch in when our brothers and sisters need us. And remember that kindness is not just doing good, but it's that willingness and that eagerness to do good, searching for opportunities to bless others. And Titus teaches this a few times over. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, remind the people to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. And it's that readiness to do good that is kindness, looking for more chances to looking for more good things we can do. And that the positive and negative side of this is outlined in the next verse, verse 2. We are to speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, and then be gentle and show perfect courtesy towards all people. So quarrel free, don't cause trouble. We saw that last week with patience. But then also be courteous towards others, be gentle towards others. That's kindness. And the same idea is repeated a few more times in this chapter, verse 8. After giving the example of Jesus Christ and the kindness of God that appeared in Christ, it says, "The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works." Again, there's that intentionality there. We're not doing good because it happens to, it just suddenly comes up. We're looking for opportunities. We're being careful to be devoted to good. A life that just happens to do some good when the chance falls into our lap is better than a completely selfish life, I suppose. But it's not the ideal, kind Christian life. We have to be searching for ways to do good. A productive life, it says, is one that is filled with helpfulness and gentleness and goodness. And we must not just be kind to our friends, to those who are kind to us, but to everyone, as God is also our example, as His kindness extends not just to us, His people, but even to the ungrateful and the wicked. And that's always the hardest part, right? It's fairly easy to be kind and helpful to those who we know will help us back. Although sometimes when we're feeling extra grumpy, even that is pushing it. But to be kind to those who have shown no kindness to us and who likely never will. But Jesus says we must. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And so we must be kind as God is kind, and He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. We must be ready to do good even to them. Now, kindness does, in a sense, have its limits. We read about this in Titus chapter 3 as well. Verse 9 speaks about foolish controversies and warns us against quarrels and dissensions that are unprofitable and useless. Any useless arguments is forbidden us as Christians. We can't waste our time on useless arguing when there's so much kindness that needs to be shown. And any person who lives that way, who continues to argue and who stirs up division by continuing such pointless arguments, verse 10 says, "As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned." And so, yes, we are to practice kindness towards those who are ungrateful and wicked. But that doesn't mean that we are, kindness does not mean that we allow divisive and destructive people to stay in our midst, because they will continue to cause trouble and division. It's not kind, in fact, to allow a divisive and destructive person unlimited opportunities to hurt others with their anger and their division and their malice. In fact, that is unkind towards everyone else. And so just like the other fruits of the Spirit, where love and patience do not mean you have to forgive an unrepentant abuser and continue allowing them to hurt you nonstop, kindness and meekness also does not mean you have to allow others to just run over you and that they have free rein to hurt others. No, kindness, in fact, towards everyone else would mean that a person who is divisive, that a person who is abusive, that we would warn them once, warn them twice, and after that have nothing to do with them for the good of everyone else. But kindness does mean that we must always be ready to forgive even such a person when they truly do repent and show evidence in their life that they have changed their ways. And kindness means not cherishing bitterness, rage, and malice against them, because that is the way that we used to once live in our foolish and ways when we were enslaved. God, He forgave us. And God went through all the steps necessary to forgive us, including punishing our sins on Jesus Christ, so that when we repent, our sins are washed away in Christ's blood and we're renewed by the Holy Spirit. And so kindness in imitation of God is an essential characteristic in the church. And we might also think of how it's an essential characteristic in the office of deacon. For God has given deacons to especially show mercy to those who are in need. Deacons are called to distribute gifts cheerfully to those who need assistance, to support those who are burdened with cares and who are lonely. And above all, they are commanded to see to it that no one in the congregation is left uncomforted under the pressure of sickness, loneliness, and poverty. And so deacons have the task especially to be kind, to be on the lookout for ways that others need help, to be ready always to do what is good. And so kindness is thus an essential characteristic for a deacon. But the task of deacons is not to do all the kindness in the church. As we see the deacons collecting for various causes, as we see them helping the poor and visiting those who are lonely or sick or needy, we should also remember our task to be kind. All of us actually have that task of looking out for the needs in the congregation and meeting those needs where we can. If each of us in the congregation is showing much kindness, eager to help others, looking for ways to help, visiting the lonely, visiting the sick, contributing to the poor, the office of deacon, in a sense, should be pretty easy. There should be little left for them to do. Because all those who are sick and lonely or needy should have been shown kindness before the deacons get involved. But since we are not perfect, then God has given the office of deacon for a reason, so that they can organize and manage the task of charity in the congregation. They oversee all of the congregation to make sure that no one slips through the cracks, which would likely otherwise happen because of our blindness and sinfulness. And so we do need deacons very much. But the office of deacon does not absolve all of us from our duty to be kind. Kindness means to be on the lookout for those who need help in whatever way possible. And to meet that need yourself, or if you're not able to do it all on your own, to enlist the help of others. And of course, you can enlist the help of the deacons where needed as well. And so kindness then, above all, is about our character. That we want to be helpful. That we are so full of love that we're looking for opportunities to do what is good. Always on the lookout for the people who need our love, who need whatever we can give them. That we are predisposed to think positively about others. To love them. And to forgive them when they wrong us. It's not easy. Because we as human beings are often predisposed to be negative, to hold grudges, to love ourselves first, to remember all the wrongs that others have done, to have lots of reasons why they don't deserve our help. But we've seen again this morning that our God is a kind God, that His kindness means that He did not hold our wrongs against us, even though our wrongs were so great. Foolish, disobedient, slaves to passions and pleasures, full of malice and envy, harming others, hating others. That was us. But God, in His kindness, when we were still that way, when we were still wicked and disobedient, His kindness appeared. When Jesus Christ was born and lived His life and died on the cross, suffering for our sins. And so God was eager to forgive us and to pour out His blessings on us. From the blessings every day of sunshine and rain to the greatest blessing of making us heirs of the hope of eternal life. And so because of that kindness that God has shown us, let us be kind to others. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for He is kind, His steadfast love endures forever. And remembering that, let us be ready and be devoted to every good work. Speaking evil of no one, avoiding quarreling, being gentle, and showing courtesy towards all people, and more kindness as we have opportunity to do so. Amen.